This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're inside the Sound Museum on your Wednesday night. Leo, we have a special guest, part of our team tonight. Oh Mercy, have you heard of Oh Mercy? It's an indie rock band from Melbourne. Alexander Gow is one of Australia's most acclaimed singer-songwriters, releasing three albums by the time he was 25, which is a fair effort. He's won a handful of awards and also a string of ARIA nominations. And his latest album, When We Talk About Love, is out now, and it's showcasing some great love songs. Welcome to Joy 94.9, Alexander Gow.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've got a very great story to tell. I've been keeping up with some of your music over the little while anyway, especially your latest material, which is fantastic. You keep a very detailed blog on your website, and it tracks your journey as you've spent some time in the US, Portland, Nashville, and New York, and also shares, you know, some of your thoughts and inspirations with some very interesting photos, can I just say? You're a great storyteller. Are these experiences behind some of your great lyric writing?
I actually never went to America. I fabricated the whole story.
You fabricated the whole story.
That's a pretty bloody good story too, Alex.
I was living just with my parents. I spent the whole time patting the dog and drinking water. No, it's true. It's all true. And I feel like it's important to be honest because I'm trying... Well, not, you know, it sounds like it's some kind of noble mission of mine, but it's not quite like that. But I enjoy breaking down the mystery and the mythology of songwriting, you know. And it's to do that, I write about my experiences in a really frank kind of way. And I get a kick out of that because I enjoy playing with people's expectations and, you know, it's fun being crude and it's fun being cheeky and I enjoy writing too.
Keeping things interesting and keeping things guessing, keep people guessing.
I guess. Well, you definitely sold that story to me anyway.
Now, you're a bit of a Blondie Debbie Harry fan, I hear.
Yeah, I'm a huge Blondie fan.
He's obsessed. He's very obsessed.
Why are you so obsessed? I mean, a great band, but where did the obsession start? How did it start?
My dad's a really big fan. I remember growing up listening to lots of great female like lead bands like the Divinyls and Blondie and being really impressed and Cyndi Lauper. And
I love her.
Whereas my mum would be listening to like Dionne Warwick and Dusty Springfield. So female singers were a big part of my, you know, childhood and then into my teenage years. And I still adore all of those bands that I mentioned and spent a fair bit of time singing like a girl too, arguably still do. So, you know, I mean, I think the Blondie has a quality to her voice, which is sultry and proud. And the music itself is just really cool.
You did something very crazy to get into one of her shows.
I did, yeah.
Tell us what you did.
I pretended that I was her son. Well, listen, it was a secret.
You could be her grandson even. Okay, how old is she?
I'm not quite sure. But that night, I was her son. unofficially. I was at South by Southwest, a music festival in Austin, Texas. And it's an enormous festival, meaning that there's plenty of people. And the line to see Blondie was enormous, and I didn't know about the concert. It was one of those secret gigs, you know, until about 10 minutes before it started. But the word was out, and the line was 50 meters long plus, and the room itself was already packed. You could hear everyone inside. And when the band started to play, I was like, well, I needed to improvise. And I'm not really the guy to do this kind of thing, but it was pretty important for me to see Blondie, who I, you know, I love, as I said. So I thought I'd try my luck, and I went, being a musician myself and understanding the mechanics of touring and, you know, what's reasonable and unreasonable, went around the back and knocked on the door, and the tour manager or one of the guys on the tour came to the door and, you know, just basically said, what are you doing here? I said, listen, I've just jumped off the plane, I don't have my accreditation, but that's my mum on stage now, I've got to go in right now. And he freaked out a little bit, probably knew I was lying.
Was that in your Aussie accent?
Oh yeah, but like to the Americans it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, well, perhaps that helps me because, you know, he'd be like, well, Debbie Harry's international star. Maybe she hasn't, you know, like, who knows? I don't know what he was thinking. But the point is that he probably knew I was lying, but the small chance that I was telling the truth, you know, made him walk out the back and find out, grab someone else to find out if this was true or not. And the door was open, literally. And I walked straight through that door and disappeared into the crowd.
Oh, you cheeky boy.
There I was by the end of the first song. Thanks, Mum.
Now, Alex, you're wearing a leather jacket today. You've got quite a few collections of leather jackets.
That's true.
Why?
They look hot, by the way.
Bit Thanks of a leather fetish happening. No?
I do love leather, and I fear that one day it'll wear out and fall apart. So I have
It's better than this
multiple
cheap vinyl stuff.
I picked that as vinyl on entry.
Yeah.
Actually.
See?
I have to try a bit harder. I've got multiples of the same jacket in case, and I kind of share them. Or I share the wear around so as that I don't wear any of them out. And I've got like a denim version of this same style jacket, which gets a turn every now and then.
Bit of a workout.
Yeah.
Now, Alex, coffins freak me out at the best of times. And Sandy, your music video, poor Sandy, lying there in a coffin or part of the video, leaps up and gets up and gets stuck into some ballet. Where did this idea come from, please?
Well, the ballet part was... I was kind of inspired by the absurdity and the beautiful absurdity of the Wuthering Heights film clip, the Kate Bush film clip.
Mm.
Surreal and bizarre, and kind of makes me think of, you know, like Twin Peaks, that surreal, you know, eerie, spooky kind of beauty. And the song's about death. I'm fascinated by it, and it made sense.
Why are you so fascinated by death?
Oh, because so many people are, it strikes terror into the hearts of lots of people, but I think it's like and that's interesting, and I think it's a beautiful thing. I don't know, we have this idea for some reason that we're kind of special and immortal, but at the end of the day, if like you look at it, we're just on part of an enormous line of people that have thought the same thing and ended up being eaten by, you know, foxes and stuff like that.
Well,
so, you know, once you can like realize that, then you can kind of have a bit of fun with it, maybe.
Well, it's crazy because there was only, two people at the funeral, yet that video's had over 20,000 views on Vevo.
Well, there you go.
The new video that you've done...
If You Come Around Tonight.
If You Come Around Tonight. Quite a moving track.
Thank you very much.
Quite personal.
Well, the record's pretty personal, and that clip itself is... kind of voyeuristic, and
I was just going to say it's a voyeur's paradise.
It totally is. One of my favourite writers, Nicholson Baker, calls that foyeurism. You know, when you're the interest in looking into people's foyers. And yeah, you know what? That song is pretty personal. The whole record is, and kind of romantic too. Not kind of. It's romantic.
It is.
And I tried to, you know, incorporate that into the clip. If you come around tonight.
Did you have a special someone when you were going through this whole process, or was it a bit of a breakup happening, or what was your inspirations behind the songs?
Yeah, I was separated from someone that was really important to me geographically, and that's the, you know, being separated from her, you know, as I said, geographically gave me a different insight into our relationship, and that's where most of the songs were born.
Made it stronger over time?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, and weaker in a lot as well. Just two people... growing up, trying their best.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, while you were in the States, you took out a gym membership and learnt how to swim or teach yourself how to swim.
Sure.
And you had a bit of an experience at the sauna.
Mm-hmm.
We might let Alex tell the story, but there was a great story I did catch online about what you did catch in the sauna. Tell us what happened at the gym.
Thankfully, I didn't
Can you swim?
Thankfully, I didn't catch anything in the sauna. I can kind of swim now, but before Portland, I wasn't very good. Like, I'm a city boy, born and bred, so I didn't spend much time at the beach or at the pool or anything like that. I didn't really know how to swim, and I thought that was pretty pathetic. And trying to be a better adult, one of the aspects of that was teaching myself how to swim. But anyway, the particular gym that I joined had a sauna, and I went to a private school. I went to De La Salle, and I played plenty of sport. But for one reason or another, there was like that didn't involve like sharing showers and stuff like you see in the films. But anyway, so this particular sauna was funny. It was just, can I say the C word on Joy? Not that C word, the cox word.
Yeah. You can say that.
Penises is the clean version.
Okay, it's just penises. Lots everywhere.
Lots of penises. Really? Where was this place?
50 penises.
Leo!
You know, and as a straight man that has never been surrounded by that many penises, it was so funny. And bums too. Like old men bums. They're interesting, far out. Because you would walk into this sauna and just penises like straight in front of you, and then penises like on for the ground level people, and then for the people on the second level, their penises and penises in your peripherals. It was 180 degrees of penises and two levels of them too.
And Different types too, right?
Oh, they're all different.
Definitely know, packing heat, huh?
It was some heat, and this is a nice one. Very good, actually. I'm sorry I didn't react quicker. But the funniest thing about that story for me is the expressions on their face. Like, I reckon that they go home, sit on a chair, take off their pants, and look in the mirror and go, this is my, you have got my penis out in the sauna, what happened, you know, what, so what face? Because you're looking at my penis in a sauna, so what faces? Well, unbelievable. You can't see, this is radio, but just remind myself of that.
Yeah.
But it was extraordinary. It's like, aren't you guys cracking up? There's like 50 penises in this room. And they were like, it's no big deal. I reckon it would have taken a lot of energy to maintain that face.
It'd be a different story if it was like a gay sauna and you were in this gay sauna by accident.
Maybe, even still, maybe even a straight sauna. Yeah. You never know.
You never know.
I don't know what kind of sauna it
doesn't
was
matter anyway.
Brian Pierre, quickly moving on.
That's right. Moving on. Now, good story. You're in the car, I think, driving with a friend, listening to Harry Nilsson.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that the Without You song?
We listened to Without You.
That guy? Is that Harry Nilsson?
Does he have a song called Without You?
Yeah,
he's got a song called.
That was his big song.
Maybe. How does that go? He's got so many hits.
Oh, I don't want to sing.
He's got everybody's. He
I
does
can't
the cover.
Live without you.
Yeah.
And then it was covered.
He's got Mariah Carey in the rain.
Is it called Without You?
That's
one.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah.
Now, a great story about Harry Underwood. And your album artwork had to do with a postcard that you spotted in a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, let my leather jacket answer this question. I was creaking before. I didn't creak when I wanted it to.
It is squeaking, I can hear it.
I was frequenting this Mexican restaurant in Nashville, and there was a postcard, like a promotional postcard with a painting by an artist that I was unfamiliar with. I assumed it was some kind of 1960s pop artist or something like that. Anyway, I kept on going back, and as I was forming this album, writing this album, getting a concept of where it was going, knowing that it was quite romantic and melancholic, this guy's paintings kind of were making more and more sense. So I asked to have a look at the postcard eventually and found out that he lived in Nashville, that he didn't live too far from where I was staying. And it also turned out we had some mutual friends, so I was introduced to Harry. And I went over to his house, and it was all very southern, and offered me strawberries and homemade iced coffee and stuff like that. And we talked about music, and you know, I ended up being lucky enough to be able to marry his visual aesthetic, with my music, which I'm really grateful for.
Fantastic.
It's a good story.
And you mentioned Nashville before, because I've interviewed so many people this year who've been to Nashville to songwrite and singer-songwriters, and it's such a great hub for singer-songwriters. It's such a great vibe over there, right?
It sure is. You know, you can go out any night of the week and see some of the best musicians at their instruments in the world, whether it be lap steel or mandolin or just the, you know, electric guitar. And that's impressive in itself. Whether you like those instruments or not, it's undeniable that these people are, you know, incredibly talented, and that's inspiring. And people are really interested in songwriting still over there.
Mm.
And obviously, being that that's my interest, it was the perfect place for me to be.
And it's not like a country town. It's like pop and rock and dance.
You know, I didn't make a country record, so. Yeah.
Is it on the cards?
A country record? Oh,
yeah.
I'm not ruling anything out. Yeah.
Apparently,
a couple of Leo's yeehaws will have to make it onto the record, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Now, you're sitting on the subway in New York City, writing the lyrics to Let Me Be Him.
That's right.
Your inspirations come... You were on the subway writing that.
Yeah, well, I was set up with a co-write, and that means basically that my publisher and someone else's publisher have organized two people to get together and try to write a song. And that happens a lot in America, and especially in Nashville. this was in New York, and I'd written lots of mediocre songs with a co-writer purely because sharing the responsibility of writing the lyrics to a song often leads to a fairly average lyric because it's often a very personal thing, and it was for me. So to avoid that happening again, and I have a great deal of respect for this guy, Bruce Brody, who I was writing with, being that he played the piano in the Patti Smith group, and once again, another female, you know, singer that I love, Patti Smith. Mm. I really wanted to get a good result and a good song out of this session. So it was about a 10-minute train ride to his stop in Wall Street near his studio. And the subways in New York are pretty wild. And so I had one hand holding on for, you know, my life and the other hand on my on my phone, which is very modern, like in the notepad section of my iPhone, just writing out the words to this song. And I was kind of looking around me and, you know, there's references to being on a train specifically. It was much more poetic in the song, I promise. But, and then, so I, you know, ended up getting off at the stop and within 10 minutes had written this song, and I didn't really edit the lyrics at all. And I turned up and Bruce had his back to me working on this little piano line, very simple. And I said g'day and showed him the words, and we kind of just plopped them on top, and that was that.
You've written over 45 songs for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a hard time to sort of cull back some of your babies? And
yeah. Yeah, it was really difficult, but I had some really great people helping with that, some people at EMI.
Is that a hard process during that?
Yeah, it's really difficult. There's plenty of songs that I wish I could have recorded, but...
B-sides, maybe?
Well, listen, they still exist. Like, yeah. They're not going anywhere. I've recorded them. I've demoed them to a certain point. I've got them saved on a couple of different hard drives. You know, like, I get hit by a tram.
They're the backups.
Yeah, they still exist, and, you know, maybe I will record them properly at some point.
Now, Alex, you're going to be performing, I believe, on Saturday, July 11th at the Melba Spiegel Tent in Collingwood, and also a gig out at Howler on August the 22nd, which is my birthday, which will be a special show. Just saying. And so you're looking forward to those? You get some rehearsals under your belt before then?
Yeah, sure. So we obviously, with a new album means a new set list, and I also have a new band, so there's been plenty of time arranging these songs with new musicians, and I'm really excited to play them for everyone.
So the new album is called When We Talk About Love. It is in stores online now, and you can follow Alex on his social media, Omercy, across all platforms, and the website omercy.com.au. Thanks for coming in tonight, Alex.
My pleasure. It's good to be here.
Now, before you go, you've got a bit of a sing-song.
I can do that.
What are you going to sing for us?
What song are you going to sing for us, Alex?
Maybe I will... I hadn't thought about it, but maybe I'll play the song Let Me Be Him, which I described riding on the train toward meeting Bruce Brody.
These days it's hard to tell from where you and I we came. And if our eyes finally meet, will it be as strangers on a train? Lost what we once shared. Now all I wanna do is reclaim. So just give me the word, and then give me his name. Pass me the mask. Let us begin. Just let yourself be loved and led. Maybe him. Is this where he stands? Teach me to be a different man. I'd rather live a life for just one night than to be the man I am. Does he hold you at night? Does he wear a cologne? Does he bathe you in the morning light? Or is that something you do alone? Does he move in that way, the way I never did? And is he selfish in love? Is that something that you share? Pass me the mask on, let us begin. Let yourself be loved and let me be him. Is this where he stands? Teach me to be a different man. I'd rather live a life for just one night, then to be the man I am. Pass me the mask, let us begin. Just let yourself be loved and let me be him. Help me to understand anything to be a different man. I'm a marionette, you just pull my strings and let me be him.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.